And if you open to 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18, we continue our journey through the Bible. And tonight we come to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let's look at verse 1 to verse 5. And it says, "It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and he would let him go now more home for his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went, and whatsoever Saul sent him, and behave himself wisely. And Saul set him over the man of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. As we continue to make our journey through the Bible, Lord, this is a great passage of friendship, Lord, and love. And Lord, and I just pray, Father, give me the words to teach tonight. Teach me as I teach, Lord. Give us something we can take home with us. And I pray that for those, Lord, maybe on social media tonight following us, if it's someone that never really received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that they will really consider Jesus tonight, call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So tonight we're going to look at the problem of jealousy. The problem of jealousy here. It's more than jealousy, but we're going to dissect this chapter. And of course, we move in a small pace, chapter by chapter. And of course, one of the things I like about going through the Bible is that you don't have to pick up the name of your lesson. The titles just come at you as you read the Bible. It's just right there. And it's one of those things, you know, you don't have to avoid certain issues. It's right there. Let's preach about it. So that's one of the things I like about going through the Bible. I learned that with Pastor Strickland when I first got saved. On Wednesday nights, he was going through the Bible, and it really touched me. Actually, it helped me a lot when I was in college, all those old books of the Old Testament anyway. But it was a blessing. So Pastor Strickland used to spend 7 years going through the Bible. Goodness, I'm in year 50, and I'm still in 1 Samuel. So I'm dragging along. But anyway, it's so many good things here in the Bible, so, you know, we just keep going. But anyway, tonight we're going to talk about the problem of jealousy. So as we continue our journey through the book of 1 Samuel, of course, we are seeing how God continues to arising David and put Saul down. Actually, to be honest with you, Saul started good. He started good. He was humble. He was listening. He would listen to what Samuel said to him until power and many other things got into his head. And of course, we know what happened to Saul. So for the past 2 weeks, we looked at the story of David and Goliath. Of course, for 2 weeks I preached on "I'm not afraid of you," and of course about David not afraid of Goliath. And tonight we will see what happened between David and Saul as a direct result of David's victory over Goliath. Now, tonight we are going to look at the subject of jealousy. Are you a jealous person? There's a lot of jealousy in our world. I tell you what, it's a lot of jealousy in homes. Siblings are jealous of each other. My sisters were very jealous of me. It's not because I tried, just because they believed that I was the favor. I said, "Listen, I'm not the favor." Yep. "Mom and Dad have you as the favor." So they were jealous of me. And because my mom, I used to have my room, and my mom used to call that room by my name. So I used to tell my mom and dad, especially my mom, "Please don't do that in front of the girls. They think you guys have favor over me, and that's not good." But even after my mother stopped, it didn't convince my sisters. To this very day, they still say that I am the favor. Can't convince them. But anyway. Anyway, so tonight we're going to look at the subject of jealousy. Folks, let me tell you that jealousy can be a big problem, all right? Jealousy can be a big problem. It is a big problem when one spouse is over-jealous over the other one. What about jealousy in a workplace? People take a different position, a higher position, and people begin to be jealous of them. You want to make enemies? Yeah, go up in the workplace and you see how many enemies. And a lot of them are just jealous because they can't do what you're doing. Jealousy among siblings, I just mentioned that. So question, do you ever struggle with jealousy? It happens in churches, folks. People jealous over others. Oh, why he's teaching? He's teaching and I can't teach. Why he's doing that? I can't do that. Why she's doing that? I can't do that. And if we don't be careful, it can really be a big problem. So, jealousy, like I said, is a big problem. Does jealousy make you happy? Does jealousy make anybody happy? The answer to those questions, by the way, is a yes and no. Yes, everyone struggles with jealousy. All of us struggles with jealousy. All of us have a little jealousy. You might say, I'm not a jealous person, but there is a little jealousy in all of us. Believe me, it is a little jealousy. I really believe so. Okay? I say, I'm not a jealous person. But there are times you just find yourself a little, huh? Yeah, at times it just kind of, you know, sneaks on you, you know? So the question is yes or no? Yes. Yes, everyone struggles sometimes with jealousy at certain times. But again, no, it never makes us happy. And yet, we do it anyways. Jealousy doesn't make anybody happy. Do you ever see a jealous person being happy? No, jealous people actually talk about something. They're not content. They're unhappy with the things that happen to someone else. So today we are going to be looking at the topics of this. These are the topics of love, jealousy, and fear as seen throughout the relationship of Jonathan, David, and Saul. So Jonathan is Saul's oldest son, and he is, of course, famous for his friendship with David. We all know about this. So today's passage teaches a very simple truth. Love brings you closer to people, while jealousy and fear will drive you apart. All right, let me repeat this again. All right, so love brings you closer to people. The more you love people, the closer you get to people. But jealousy and fear will drive you apart from people. Okay? So love makes you seek unity with others. Love makes you put others before yourself. Jealousy prevents you from taking pleasure in other people's success. When we don't, listen, we see other people's success, instead of saying, hooray, I'm happy for you, we're jealous, and what happens is we don't rejoice with them. Jealousy robs you of the joy of your own success. We're going to see here this. When the people say that Saul killed the thousands and David killed the 10,000s, and of course Saul got all jealous over David, and he forgot the things that he was doing. So instead of him being happy for what he was doing, he took his eyes off what he was doing, and he was looking at what somebody else was doing. And that's a problem. So love, jealousy, and fear all have to do with how you will relate to others. They also have to do with how you will relate to God and how God will use you in this life. Are you ready? So let's look at this from a few points tonight. Okay? So number one, we see the son of a king. We see the son of a king from verse 1 to verse 4. We see the son of a king. One of the most precious and profound of the relationships David enjoyed was a friendship he had with King Saul's son, Jonathan. Now, folks, let me tell you this. There are many distorted minds out there that use this passage to say something that doesn't say. Okay? And it's sad when people twist the scriptures to say something they're not going to say. For an example, if you go on my Facebook page, I probably have 2,000 friends in there. How about maybe 1,500 of them I never met in my life. They're not my friends. They're just acquaintance. That's who they are. To have a true, real friend, if you have one, you are a blessed person. Because a friend, a true friend, is something very hard to find. Very hard to find. David found one friend. Jonathan found one friend. And that's what we have here. We have the fruit, we see the fruit of a friendship that is genuine between two people. Okay? So Jonathan was a true man of God to this young David. In fact, the very name Jonathan means Jehovah has given. So Jonathan was strategically placed in David's life at the very time David needed a genuine friend. Now, David, of course, he was anointed king. He began to get to the palace, you know, he was playing for Saul and stuff. But there was a time that David really needed a friend because, you know what's going to happen? He's going to run for his life because Saul is going to hunt him down. And he needed a friend. Of course, he found a friend in Jonathan. Let me tell you tonight, if you found a friend like this, just Jonathan here, you are a blessed person. Okay? I mean, I know many people in this world, but I can't say everybody's my friend, okay? So Jonathan proved to be the greatest and the dearest friend that David would know his entire life. Like I said, it is a shame and a disgrace that some would try to make this precious passage right here in this relationship between two men that love the Lord, that love each other, to be something that is not. And you folks know what I'm talking about. So it is a sad thing. And look what it says. Of course, it uses verses like this one. Look what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love for to me was wonderful, passing the love of a woman. And of course, see, that's what it says. Take your American mind out of the Bible and read the Bible for what the Bible says. And search the scriptures and let the scriptures talk to you. All right? The problem we have in our day, especially in America, people read the Bible with American eyes on it. You can't do that. You have to read the Bible for what it is and let the Bible speak to you. And if you don't understand what you're reading, go forward, go backwards, you're going to find the answer. But to just come up and say things and not so, it is a sad thing. And I'm telling you, this is predominant. People talk about this all the time. So it is. We come into a point that people have distorted minds, wicked minds, saying, trying to the Bible to say things that is not so. So what is a real friend? I think this is in your outline. What is a real friend? You ready? One friend said, "A friend, a true friend, of course, a real friend, the first person who comes in when the whole world has gone out. That's a friend." A friend is someone who, listen to this, I like this. A friend is someone who understands your past, believes in your future, and accepts you today just the way you are. That is a friend. All right? A friend is someone who understands your past, believes in your future, and accepts you today just the way you are. We ought to praise the Lord for the few genuine friends we possess in our lives, don't we? If you have a friend, praise the Lord for him. Praise the Lord for him. Now, Jonathan and David enjoyed a special friendship, which was a remarkable thing here, because Jonathan was next in line to the throne, and God was blessing David with such success. If anyone should have or should be jealous over David, it would be Jonathan. Jonathan would say, listen, my father's the king. I'm next in line. Who are you? You're just like a shepherd boy. You're like you were nobody. I am the prince. You are the shepherd. But he was not. He accepted David for who he was. He loved David as a friend, and he helped David. And David needed that help. So letter A, love makes you seek unity with others. And look what it says in verse 1, in the middle of the verse. And the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. So according to verse 1, Jonathan loved David just as he was. You see, and that's how we love people. We love people just the way they are. We don't love people to make them be something that they're not. They are not. We love people for the way. Listen, if you are to make it, I want to be a friend of mine. Listen, this is who I am. That's it. I'm not going to change. You follow that? So if we love people, we have to love them for who they are. They can be rich, they can be poor, they can be simple, they can be smart, but love them for who they are. Otherwise, we're not going to make friends. So think about it. David was a nobody from nowhere, but Jonathan was, so to speak, in the eyes of society, somebody. He was the son of the king. He loved David just because he was David and not for no other reason. That's why he loved David, because he was just David. So the prince loved the potter and the pauper, and his soul was knit with the soul of David here. There was nothing in David that caused his love to grow, yet it was there just the same. Jonathan loved David for who he was. The prince learned to love a, so to speak, in the eyes of society, a nobody, which was a shepherd boy. So there are a couple of things that we can learn from Jonathan's love for David in this passage. First of all, love makes you seek unity with others. Jealousy and fear drives people apart, but love brings people together, doesn't it? Love brings people together. Believe me, the more you go out of your way and show love to people, the more people is going to appreciate you. Believe me. I see, we live in a society that teaches us what I can get. What can I get out of this? You deserve it. You need this. You need it. No, but if we live, and if we learn, of course, from this passage as well, even from the love of Jesus, let me tell you that if we learn those things, when we love people, if we express love to people, let me tell you, they're going to love us back. Now, first of all, like I said, we need to seek unity with others. Jealousy and fear drive people apart, but love brings people together. Now, if we meet Jonathan before, back in chapter 13 and 14, when we study the rise and fall of Saul, of course, but this is the first time that we see David and Jonathan together here. Of course, they're together, and we see the friendship that they have for one another. So Jonathan and David, they had a kindred spirit. They loved each other. They were the best of friends. I'll tell you what. When I lived in Portugal, I migrated to America. I was a teenager. I had five friends. Five. Okay? We grew up together. We don't see each other in years. Actually, when I went back to Portugal, it was 34 years later. When I got there, when you're a friend, you're a friend. They were there. They greeted me. They invited them to their home. Of course, they already married. They have kids and all that. Well, it was a blessing to see that our friendship didn't die with time. You know why? Because it's genuine friendship. It's true. It's real. So we were there. I went to their homes. They came to the place that I was. We spent time together. It's like time didn't stop. And time was standing still for a time. But when we got together, it's like it didn't miss a beat. It was amazing. And they accept my family as it is, and I accept their families as it was. You're talking about true friendship. That's what's going on here. These guys, of course, they're in different parts of their way of living. One is rich, one is poor. But I tell you what, their hearts are knit together. They love each other. So David, of course, Jonathan was impressed by David's faith in going up against Goliath, of course. Jonathan had shown a similar faith early when he led an attack on the Philistines back in chapter 13 and 14. It was a very similar scene to David and Goliath. So Saul and his whole army were holding back in fear. And of course, Jonathan went out in faith and acted. And we actually, in Psalm 133 verse 1, it says these words about this. Behold, how good and how pleasant is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So let me tell you this, folks. How can we have unity if we don't have love? You cannot have a unity in a home if you don't have love. You cannot have a unity in a church if you don't have love. You see, unity and love goes with each other. But let me tell you, if we have jealousy, there's no love. If we have fear, there's no love. So we can seek an even greater unity today because the Holy Spirit, of course, lives inside of us, inside believers. So Jonathan and David became one spirit, and Jonathan loved David as himself. So love makes you seek unity with others. Let it be. Love makes you put others before yourself. Love makes you put others before yourself. Let me tell you, if I say that I love my wife, I put her ahead of me. Otherwise, I'm a liar. Isn't that true? Look what it says in verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. They made a covenant with each other. And look what it says. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe and that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. So he gave everything to him. Of course, there's symbolism right here. We're going to talk about that in a second. See, here David and Jonathan move from being in one spirit to committed friendship. Jonathan makes a covenant with his friend David. He takes off his royal robe and gives it to David along with his tunic and his sword and his bow and, of course, and his belt. Jonathan was next in line to be a king. This clothes and weapons were symbolic of Jonathan's position as heir to the throne. Given David, these items were symbolic of Jonathan passing on to David, that saying to him, literally, the throne is yours, David. Literally. So talk about commitment, friendship, or committed friendship right here. Is a friend that was willing to step down and let a friend take the position that he could take it himself. So once again, if anyone had a right to be jealous was of David, it was Jonathan. But Jonathan seemed to have understood early on that David will be the next king of Israel. So Jonathan is just fine with that. It is fine with it because he loves his friend as he loves himself. Let me tell you, folks, it is hard to find this kind of friendship. Very hard to find. But let me tell you, but instead of giving to jealousy, he puts David before himself. That is, folks, that is what love does. Love puts others first. Let me tell you this. If I say I love someone, I'm going to put that person ahead of me. Because love is an action verb. Okay, so love requires action. Just to say I love with my lips, talk is cheap, anybody can say that. But if I put my love into action, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to put others ahead of me. Because then Jesus did that too. The Lord didn't say, I feel so bad for you guys down there, all sinning. You guys are all going to hell. I wish the best for you guys down there. I hope you guys can make it. He didn't do that. What did he do? He left heaven. He took a form of a man. He came in, he was nailed to a cross. Why? He demonstrated his love towards us so we can have salvation. So God put us ahead of himself. So love causes us to act on behalf of someone else. And that's what Jonathan does here. He loves David so much that he's willing to step down and say, David, you take my position. I don't want it. That's friendship. See, love constantly gives. That's the reason why love, like I said, is an action verb. Love is always giving, constantly giving. When we stop giving, we stop loving. Listen, here's your marriage. If you stop giving love to that marriage is going to struggle. It's going to go down. If you stop giving love to your children, your children are going to struggle because they don't have your love. It keeps going. I kept keep going with examples, but that love always gives, or continually gives. So when we say, let's look in our outline here. So the number one, we see the son of a king. Number two, we see the jealousy of a king. We see this from verse 5 to verse 11. See, in verse 5 to verse 11, we move from Jonathan's love to David to Saul's jealousy of David. And here Saul's jealousy stands in direct contrast to Jonathan's love. There are a lot of problems with jealousy in our passage here tonight. It's highlighted here in three things right here. I'm going to give it to you. Now, all of us experience from time to time, like I said, some type of a jealousy. In other words, none of us are foreign to jealousy. I'm going to give you an example with my mom and dad. my dad always to boast about he was not jealous. And one day, we were in the store, and this stranger, my mom didn't speak English, so this stranger said something to my mom, and my mom looked at him, and it comes my dad. Who's that man? And I said, Dad, I have no clue. She has no clue. That guy, she doesn't even speak English. She doesn't even know what he said. I said, Dad, I thought you were not jealous. So my dad was not a man of many words. He just looked at me with those eyes, pretty much saying, be quiet. But all of us have some type of a little jealousy, don't we? It happens. It comes up. So you see, the jealousy of a king. Let me give you three things that comes up in these verses right here about this jealous king. Number one, jealousy prevents you from taking pleasure in others people's success. Look at verse 5. And David went out whatsoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And look what it says. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. So what happened here, everything that Saul told David to do, David was successful. And Saul didn't like that. Saul didn't like that. Folks, this is so natural to the human nature, isn't it? The more successful you become, the more envious people will be towards you. It's human nature. I tell you what, I work as a little guy in a factory to a manager. I came in and managed my father's little business to head the whole business. And I tell you what, I learned from that. The more you go up in this scale of success, the more enemies you make and the more jealous people you find. And they will tell you right in your face. They will tell you, oh goodness, I can do your job better than you do. I can do this better than you do. And I just, you know, you have to be like kind and loving and say, really? Really, can you? Can you do this? Oh goodness. I tell you what, you see this if you go through that. And you see people, how jealous they are. But let me tell you, jealousy prevents us from taking pleasure in other people's success. Let me tell you this. If a brother or a sister in the church, if he gets blessed by the Lord, if he gets, I don't know, something that, should we fall into jealousy or should we rejoice with them? Should rejoice. Let's say you come tomorrow or Sunday morning and say, hey, pastor, you know, guess what happened to me? I don't know, what happened? You know, I got a family member that sent me this big check and I pay off my house. Then me, I'm dying. I can't even pay my own. I will go, oh, really? You know, now you allow jealousy to eat you up and say, how could I not have somebody do that for me? See, if we have to be careful, instead we should just rejoice and say, praise the Lord. I'm glad you could do. That's a blessing, which it is. You see, it's so natural to human nature for us to be jealous over others. So your success will be the cause of much envious people around you. One, because they cannot do what you do, of course. Another thing, they cannot accomplish what you have accomplished. Now, Saul starts giving David more tasks, and everything that David does, he becomes a success. Actually, so successful. After the incident with Goliath, David is so popular in Israel with all the people. He's like a national hero. So everybody knows him. And if they had, I believe, an action figure those days, I think David would be in every supermarket. Like, you know, it was a little thing. He would be everywhere. So David would have been an action figure. But, I mean, those days, those things did not exist anywhere. But David is so successful that Saul even gives him a high rank in the army. This pleases everyone. We already know it pleased Jonathan because Jonathan loved David, but we know that the more tasks you give him, the more successful you become. But I tell you why, there's two things here. Saul is getting more envious and began to hate David. And the other hand, is God behind the scenes? Is the shepherd boy? And behind the scenes, Saul, without even knowing, is teaching the next king. Isn't that interesting? This is a shepherd boy. The only thing he knows is to take care of sheep. And he's doing all these things. Saul's doing all these things. Now he sent him to be in an army with these people. Guess what? He's teaching him how to be a king. And he doesn't know. God works behind the scenes. You see, God doesn't want you to be jealous of other people. I tell you what, God doesn't want us to be jealous of other people. We read this in James chapter 3. Go to James chapter 3. Let's look at verse 15. Keep your finger there in our text tonight. And look at James chapter 3, verse 15. The Lord doesn't want us to be jealous of other people. Listen, look where you are in life right now. Do you agree with me there's a lot of people that have less than what you have? They have less brains than you have, the brains that God gave you? Of course. But there are many other people that have more than what you have and more brains than what you have. Listen, the Lord wants us to be content right where we are. That's what He wants. If the Lord give you much, be content with much. If the Lord give you little, be content with little. You know what? And if you trust the Lord, He will continue to bless you. You don't have to have millions of dollars to be happy. People think, you know, that's what you need to have in order to be happy and to face life. Listen, you can have nothing and be the most happy person on the face of the earth. And many people agree with me. Let's look in James chapter 3, verse 15. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For wherever envy and strife is, the word envy and strife is there. There is confusion in every evil work. So where there is envy and strife, there is what? Confusion and evil work. So when people begin to be envious of others, they begin to think the worst to other people. So they don't look at you as the right person that you used to be. Now they look at you and they begin to call you names, envision you in things that you're not, and they keep going. So their heart and minds get filled with things that shouldn't be there. So we see number one, or letter A, we see jealousy prevents you from taking pleasure on other people's success. And number two, or letter B, jealousy robs you of the joy of your own success. We see this from verse 6 to verse 9. You see, and look what it says. And it came to pass, as they came, David has returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, and the woman came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, and with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the woman answered one another, and they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands. Here's the problem right now. He says, we ready? And David is 10,000. What did that do to the heart of David? Isn't that? And look what it says as we continue to read. It says, and Saul was very what? Wroth. And this saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me have ascribed but thousands. And what can we have more? What can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. You see what happens when you allow envy to come through your eyelids? It goes right deep inside of your heart and take roots in there. And from that day, this man never looked at David the same way. Shouldn't be praising the Lord and say, I'm glad you killed thousands because I don't have to go to battle myself. I killed thousands, you killed 10,000. Good for you. No. Envy kicked in. So Saul's jealousy of David goes all the way back to this battle right there, of course. But I tell you what, why we allow envy to get into our lives. What we gain with that. You see, that Saul, by eyeing David and looking what he did and listening to what the people were saying, he lost the joy of his own success. At least sometimes we look what other people do and we forget what we can do. We can do great things, and when we begin to envy others, we look at others and go, oh, look what they can do. And we begin to envy them and we forget what we can do ourselves. God gave you a brain. God gave you hands. God gave you a brain to think. You can do wonderful things that I cannot do. I can do things that you cannot do. But let me tell you, if I'm going to envy you things you can do, I'm in the wrong place. And that's what happens here. It sucks the joy out of you. Saul lost all the joy. Now he's going to just look at this guy, and everything he does, he's going to keep envying him. You know what? He's going to hate him. You see, Saul's jealousy turned to hate towards David. King Saul hated David and wanted him what? Dead. You see what jealousy created? Jealousy went to hate, and hate went, I'm going to kill you. And he tried. He saw a man, a young man who was everything he himself was not. He saw a young man who walked with God. He saw a young man who carried himself well. He saw a young man who was ambitious, faithful, and clean, and Saul hated him because of it. Saul hated David so much that he tried to kill him with his own hands. I tell you, be careful with jealousy. Theodore Roosevelt said this, Comparison is the thief of joy. So we're talking about jealousy, is the thief of joy. It is hard to count your own blessings when you are busy counting someone else's. This is Theodore Roosevelt that wrote this. So God wants us to take joy in what we are doing with our lives without comparing ourselves to anyone else. Enjoy what you do and rejoice in what you do and rejoice in the things that God allows you to do. And say, wow, I can do this stuff. Take joy out of it. Don't look at somebody else and then say, oh, look what they're doing. No. Here's one typical American jealousy. All right, so you are waxing your car. You're putting the stuff in the tires. Your car nice and shiny. And clean the inside. Everything is good. Then you hear this, and you look. Here goes your neighbor with a brand new car. And you look at yours, you go, oh, what a piece of junk. Jealousy already kicked in. And you know what? It robbed you the joy that you have cleaning your own little car. Listen, you can have a $500 car that is struggle up the driveway, and you can have joy in that thing. I'm telling you. Jealousy will suck the joy out of our hearts. And we begin to look wrong at our neighbor. How can he afford that car? I cannot. I have a better job than they have. Oh, we make more money than they have. And they go home and torment everybody in the house. How can our neighbor have a car and I can't have? Look, we make more money than they do. How can they have a car and we can't? We need, and the wife or the husband goes, we can't afford it. You know, we have too many bills. But you don't understand, they have a better car than me. You see, jealousy. It sucked the joy out of you. You forgot your car and looking at your neighbors. You see, and Theodore Roosevelt said it right. It is hard to count your own blessings when you are busy counting someone else's blessings. So let us see. Jealousy will make you strive out at others. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. And it came to pass on the tomorrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hands at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hands, and Saul cast a javelin for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided out of his presence twice. You see, jealousy turned to hate, and hate turns into action. You know what happens here? He tried to kill David twice. You see, he's so full of jealousy. The jealousy took, hate took over his heart and mind. And the only thing now that he sees in his mind is, I'm going to kill you. I tell you, folks, this is reality. How many people go through this? They are jealous of others. They're so jealous of others that eventually they try to harm people. And that's a sad thing. And that's what Saul does here. He loses focus of everything, and his heart is filled with jealousy and hate towards this young man, of course, David. So what do we see here? Number one, we see the son of a king. Number two, we see the jealousy of a king. And number three, we see the fear of a king. From verse 12 to verse 16. I'm sorry. Why would Saul, a king, be afraid of a nobody like David? Why? Who had the power here? Saul. Who was David, the shepherd boy? Why was the king afraid of a shepherd? Why would Saul be afraid of a shepherd boy? Did we have any reason to? Did he have any reason to be afraid of David? This is good questions, isn't it? Saul started right. He was humble, obedient to the words of Samuel, and yet he lost it. You know, folks, God can bless us tremendously as long as we walk with Him. When we begin to walk in the ways of this world, in the ways of our own intuitions, we will miss the blessings of God. You know, Saul lost it because Saul began to lose focus of who God is. And the Bible says David, on the other hand, was a man after God's own heart. So we see the fear of a king. Letter A is that fear will keep you from seeing God at work in others. Fear will keep you from seeing God work in others. We see this from verse 12 to verse 14. Look what it says. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was the departed from Saul. It says the whole thing right here. Saul was afraid of David. Why? Because the Lord was with David. Listen, let's backpedal a little bit. Wasn't the Lord with Saul at one time? What happened? Disobedience and rebellious. And the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, left him. Who caused that? Saul did. You see, we have a tendency, or we, I include myself in this, I don't do that, but many people do that. We have anything in our lives, we blame God. It's God's fault. Should not be like that. It's not God's fault. It's our own fault most of the time. So jealousy leads to fear, not the fear like we looked at the last time where the Israelites were afraid of Goliath. Now, this is a different fear right here in the heart of Saul. This is the fear of being laughed out, fear that the other person will get all the attention, fear that the other person will get all the credit or honor, fear of being dismissed, discounted, and overlooked. This was the fear of Saul here. Jealousy leads to fear, and fear will lead to a number of things. For one thing, it will keep you from seeing God at work in others. When we are jealous of others, we don't see the hand of the Lord in other people's lives. Because we're so full of envy and hate. Isn't that interesting? Saul is the one throwing spears, but he's the one who is afraid. He's the one who tried to kill David, but he's the one who's afraid of David. I can't get that one. So Saul is the one who's throwing the spear, like I said, but he's afraid of David. Perhaps the fact that David eluded the spears twice show Saul that God was with David. And of course, that's the reason why. He was afraid of David because God was with David. I tell you what. Sometimes we Christians walk around in this world afraid that what the world's going to think of us. The world should be afraid of us because the Lord is with us. Walk around in defeat. Oh, would you like this track? Would you read it? Just give him the track. I have something I would love you to read that's right here. I don't want to. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Go to somebody else. No, we go on a friend like we were going to the death row or something. Listen, we're the one who are victorious. We have the truth in us. Give them the truth. Oh, goodness. I tell you, I see this all the time. Oh, look, that guy is huge, big. What are they going to do? Just give them the track. I'm telling you, I've seen it. We are the ones who have to give them, why be afraid? So let it be. Fear will keep you from losing others as you should. Fear will keep you from loving others as you should. That's what it is. So look what it says in verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he was behaved, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. So Saul should have loved David for all that he was doing, for Israel, of course. Here David was leading the men in all the campaigns to bring Saul victory after victory. It is interesting. Saul hated David, and David was doing all kinds of goods to him. He's doing all kinds of good, but this man continued to hate him, because he kept feeding on envy. I tell you what, you know how we make our enemies afraid of us? We keep killing them with goodness. That's it. They look at you like, I can't believe that guy. I have to kill him with goodness. It's hard to do. Humanly speaking, what we want to do? We want to get even. But let me tell you, if we kill them with goodness, they're going to look and say, what's wrong with that person? That's how we win them for Christ, right? Show them the love of God. Love is a debt we continually owe each other because we are loved by God. If God loves us, we ought to love one another. And jealousy, I put it a lot this way. Jealousy has no place in the heart of a Christian. Should not have place in the heart of a Christian. Jealousy should not live there. If a brother is successful, rejoice with him. But to be jealous of a brother, that is so wrong. Look what it says in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In context, this verse is talking about fear of punishment and love for God, but the general principle also applies to our fellow man here. There is no fear in love. When we love, there is no fear. Listen, if I love Jesus, I should have no fear to live for Jesus. Okay? Why am I going to have fear to tell people about Jesus if I love him? If I love Jesus, tell people about Jesus. You know what we do? We say we love Jesus with those lips of ours, but a lot of times we just say it. Like I said in the beginning, love causes us to what? Move forward. Love causes us to tell. Love causes us to do something, to put others ahead of us. So fear will keep you from loving others as you should, and perfect love drives out fear. Jealousy leads to fear, and fear will lead you, will keep you from seeing God at work in others. Fear will keep you from loving others as you should. And I conclude with this. So we have this remarkable passage here. We see Jonathan's love for David, Saul's jealousy for David, and then Saul's resulting fear of David. It's interesting. And it illustrates for us a very simple truth, that love brings you closer to people, while jealousy and fear will drive you apart from people. And if that's true, if love brings you closer to people, while jealousy and fear will drive you apart, then you should seek love and avoid jealousy and fear. We should seek love. Folks, let me put it like this. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. There are many people in the church that are very lovable. All right? There are people in the church that are very lovable. So what do? You love them. In every family, there's always one that's not very lovable. You follow that? You have a family of seven. There's one there that is always like grumpy. Love them. Isn't that what we should do? What are we going to ignore him? He's part of the family. So we love them. We go out of our way and we make sure that that person knows that he's loved. But if we have jealousy in our hearts towards people, guess what happens? It would drift us apart. You see, people love David. There was one person that did not love David. There's one person that his heart was full of jealousy. It was Saul. And be careful with jealousy, because jealousy turns to hate. And hate, eventually, if he let it grow, it gets physical. It's right through in the Bible. Hate, it starts with jealousy, it turns to hate, and hate turns to action. And that's what Saul was trying to do to David. And he was so full of hate that he tried to kill him. You see, love will bless you with many close friends and relationships, while jealousy and fear will only isolate you and make you miserable. You will also miss out on what God is doing in you and in others, because you will forget what God is doing in you because you're looking at others. And when you look at others with jealousy, you don't see the work of God in the lives of others. So what we do tonight, we learn from this passage tonight as I close, is this. We need to learn to love people. What about love the way Jesus loves us? Jealousy should not live in the heart of a Christian, because jealousy turns to hate. You know, it is a bad place to be, we Christians, to have that feeling of hate towards people. I don't even like that word about hating people. But when we have hate in our heart, it started somewhere. It was not just born overnight. It takes its roots and eventually escalates. So jealousy should not be in the heart of a Christian. Hate should not be in the heart of a Christian. We should rejoice with our brothers and sisters. Rejoice about their successes. Rejoice when the Lord is working in their lives. And when we do that, when the Lord is working in our own lives, we can see the blessings of God in our own lives. Otherwise, we're going to miss it altogether. And I think that we, the Christians, we need to open our eyes and minds to those things. I think this is a great, great passage tonight about jealousy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. We can learn so much. Lord, we can have another preacher here and preach a totally different message. Lord, but this is the message you give me tonight, and I praise your name for it. I pray in Jesus' name.